rowdies went there, they kicked the ball around. The rowdies went here, the rowdies went there, then they fall on the ground. Oh, the rowdies, the rowdies, the rowdies are the pig in the grass.
Here's another reason why WISL is your sports leader. Now, on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WISL, North America's longest-running soccer radio show, Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Your hosts, former Rochester Lancers trainer Joe Redcard Sirianni, Rochester Rhinos broadcaster Andrew Battisti, and former Lancer and Canadian Soccer Hall of Famer Mr. Zero Dick Howard. Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by top-notch monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsford and brought to you by the following sponsors, the Rochester Rhinos, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, The Soccer Shack, Faber Homes, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, New Way Auto Parts, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park, presented by Kodak. And now, here's Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti. Thanks for joining on this cold night here in Rochester or wherever you're listening on the internet around the world. Tonight we'll give you the latest news from the United Soccer Leagues, give your commentary about the NASL situation, and we'll also be speaking with Rhinos head coach Bob Lilly about the player combines that have occurred over the past couple of weekends that he has attended. We'll see if we can get some news on maybe some new players coming to the Rhinos in 2011. Our host Joe Sirianni will join us in the second segment of the show this evening, and as mentioned, we'll have Bob Lilly on at the top of the hour, and then we'll finish up with Dick Howard and the latest international news and the news from Canada as well. There's been a lot of things going on up north of the border. We'll get to that in later on in the show. But right now, we're going to start off with our first guest tonight, a very special guest, the president of the United Soccer Leagues, good friend of our show, Tim Holt, joins us right now. And Tim's appearance is brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria of Rochester. Number to call is 234-5555. Tim, thanks for being with us tonight.
Andrew, thank you. Always a pleasure.
Well, Tim, there's obviously been a lot of news with a lot of things going on in soccer, but today the USL put out the postseason format. We'll get to that in just a bit, but I know things have been really busy around your parts, and I guess I should say happy anniversary because it's the 25th year of the USL in 2011, a great accomplishment.
Thanks. It is. It's something that we collectively take a lot of pride in, everyone from league management, ownership, team owners, and our system of leagues. A quarter century, you know, is the leading system of elite soccer leagues in the United States, and 25 years is a long time, so I think it's an exciting achievement. We look forward to the next 25 years improving on what it is that we've built here over the last quarter century.
And so they have a lot of teams to take care of this year with the USL Pro, 15 teams there, and of course the PDL and the W League, plenty of teams there. So going from coast to coast, border to border with the USL. And so Tim, I know you've been very busy down in the offices. What's been happening over the off season so far from your standpoint? How are things looking for 2011?
Really positive. I mean, it's the off season is the busiest time for us. Not that during the season isn't busy, but I think, you know, there's the perception that we just go into hibernation when the games aren't going on, and nothing could be further from the truth. All the groundwork for the season ahead is always laid during the off season. You've seen some of the fruits of that labor with the announcements over the last couple weeks. The game schedule, the USL Pro game schedule for 2011 with 15 teams, and the playoff format, which we announced today, as you've pointed out. So it's been a really eventful offseason. Obviously, we've gone through a lot of change with our professional division, merging USL 1 and USL 2 into USL Pro, the new league business model, making sure that we've got a few new teams on board, and sort of, you know, bringing everyone together in one division and getting folks on the same page. So just this, you know, this over this seven-day period, for instance, you know, we've had the player showcase with over 100 top professional prospects, mostly out of our PDL, where all of our USL Pro coaches were there in Charleston. A great weekend on the technical side to make sure that we're strong in that area. And also this week we're having executives from all the teams on the sales side for a business seminar of revenue generation so that we can fortify what our teams are doing off the field. So, yeah, there's been a lot of work in it. It's a new approach for us. We're much more involved on and off the field than we've been in the past. And doing that so that this league is going to be successful, and most importantly so that the teams are going to be successful, both on and off the field.
I'm glad you mentioned the business side, because obviously the teams need to make money or come close to breaking even at least. And it's good to see that the USL as a league is stepping up to have give the teams some assistance in that area. Tim, the schedule. Last week, Joe and I talked about the schedule with Pat Erkely, and I made the comment that you need a PhD to figure out what's going on with the schedule and why it was done the way it was. I guess I'm going to repeat some of the questions I asked Pat. I want to get your perspective from the league standpoint. One of the things we heard with the USL Pro when it was first announced that it was going to be a premium on divisional matchups and local rivalries. But when the schedule came out, the teams based in the U.S., except for Los Angeles, are not playing as many games against their divisional rivals as I would have anticipated based on what we had been heard. That, for example, the Rhinos will be playing only 9 games against their divisional opponents and 11 games against the American division, the Southern-based teams. Can you give us the background? Why did that happen? It seemed like there was maybe a shift in philosophy there.
Definitely no shift in philosophy. I think when we, you know, as we talked about this in regional competition is sort of how we've explained it, and that's not just a 2011 initiative, but it's a long-term initiative for this league. Obviously, we're going to grow this league out. We're very strong in the East United States right now. We had some good progress in the Caribbean with 4 teams that are Caribbean-based teams, but we're very thin in the Central and in the West, and until we build that out, you know, geographic play is going to be a challenge. And I think, you know, I think it's fair to say that in 2011, our teams will actually experience more travel than we anticipate they'll experience in 2012 and 2013. So when we sat down, league management sort of guiding the board of governors in making decisions about how we best A, align the league, and then B, determine the schedule composition, this is the model that we arrived at. And, you know, I think maybe a little deceiving when you first look at the schedule, you see 3 different conferences and you would assume, well, okay, maybe each team is playing 75% of their games within the conference, and I think we have that in the international division. But what we chose to do with both the American and national conferences being East Coast based, and we consider the East to be a region, is to spread those games out between those 2 conferences. So while you may not have 3 or 4 games against your closest opponent geographically, you're going to have a home and away. If you're Rochester, you have a home and away against all the other Eastern-based teams. And there may be a 3rd game built in there on a rivalry basis. And then each team in the East, the American East-based teams, will have a what we call long trip, which means they're either going to the West Coast to play a 2-game trip or to the Caribbean to play a 2-game trip, but not both. And there was one team, I've seen this question raised a couple times, Pittsburgh. Well, how come Pittsburgh doesn't go to the Caribbean or to the West Coast, and every other team does, really just because of the numbers game that happened. One team actually didn't, you know, the way we structured this, one team was selected at random not to have to make any of those trips. And that's what we want to ideally get to, is where, you know, regionally you're playing the vast majority of your games, 80 to 90% of your games, with maybe one inter-regional trip. Again, 2011, we've pulled a lot of things together. We're proud of the fact we have 15 strong teams, but we're still building this league. And until 2012, probably closer to 2013, takes shape, we're not going to reach the full vision of what we set out to do with USL Pro.
Here with Tim Holt, the president of the USL. And Tim, you read my mind. I was just going to ask you about Pittsburgh. So since you addressed that question, another question, looking at the schedule, there are a number of teams that have unusually long breaks in the schedule. For example, Barracuda FC has one break of 16 days and another break of 20 days, which I guess I don't know if that was a scheduling quirk. And Los Angeles also has some very long breaks as well. Was that more because of the need for them to travel long distances?
I think there's a couple reasons for it, not just addressing the question generally, and then actually probably specifically in those 2 situations, I think it's probably right to say that part of it is the nature of the schedule. Most teams are going to have one extended break just naturally through the schedule. Some of these are done intentionally to allow dates open for exhibition games or a series of exhibition games, which may even be a tournament that team's hosting or involved with that's not related to USL Pro. Some of it, in the cases of LA and Antigua, if you see the way they host games, sometimes, especially in LA's case, you're going to have multiple teams going there and playing 2 games in 3 days or 2 games in 4 days. So when you do that, and when LA travels, they play multiple games, there's just going to be natural gaps in the schedule that would be longer than they are for other teams that are closer together and can spread the schedule out more evenly. So I don't think they're all just necessarily quirks in the scheduling process. Some of them are. Some of them are explained that way. Some of them are intentional, and mainly I think most teams have a break or certain days that you go, well, why wouldn't they have a game there? Because they're lining up exhibition games. And I think you're going to see most, if not all, of our teams this year undertake international exhibition games that they'll host or be involved with, which we think is an exciting feature for fans.
Certainly. I know the Rhinos have talked about that. Maybe we can get some news from Bob Lilly if anything's been scheduled yet. But the other thing that came out today, the postseason format, and this is breaking news here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. So let's run that down real quick. There will be 8 teams in the postseason. There will be 3 each from the American and National Divisions, the Rhinos in the National Division, and then the top 2 teams from the International Division. All the playoffs will be single game playoffs. It will not be home and home series, obviously. So that's a big change from previous playoff seasons the Rhinos have had. So, and then the championship game will be held around Labor Day weekend. So, Tim, give us your thoughts on the playoffs and why they were structured the way they are.
Yeah, no, I think part of it is how we align. The Board of Governors spent a lot of time on playoff format. I think we determined that just 50% or just over 50% of the league was an appropriate percentage of teams making the playoffs. It makes sure that there's still value in the regular season, especially when we have these one-off playoff games where you're getting the opportunity to host based on your performance. It definitely gives reward for the teams that perform with 8 out of 15 instead of a smaller number. It also keeps most of our teams in the playoff hunt for longer in the season, and makes games relevant for fans deeper into the playoffs. That team that starts slow and gets hot later, and it gives them an opportunity to get into the tournament, the 18 tournament at the end, and do some damage. So it was important to us to balance both, keeping value on the regular season, yet having the playoffs there in a way that we're competitively fair. So you're right. We've got the 8 teams. There's 3 from the 2 national and the American, two from the international, sort of brought together in a way that we'll get to the final 4, and the international conference is guaranteed a slot in the final 4 the way we've structured this. So there's so many variables that go into it, both competitively and logistically. I think we're pretty proud about the format we came up with, and I think it's going to be a compelling sort of final 3-week sprint to the finish line and crowning a champion.
And then another thing the Rhino fans are not used to is that the season will be over by Labor Day, one way or the other. Actually, I should restate that. The Rhinos will then have about a 4-week break and then be in the U.S. Open Cup Finals. So, hey,
right on.
I told Pat Erkley that last week, and he agreed with us, of course. But Tim, before we let you go, one last thing. Obviously, we can't let you go without mentioning about the other league in the second of the lower divisions of American soccer, the North American Soccer League, and the fact that, of course, they were turned down for Division II sanctioning. Now, our good friend Jeff DeVeronica put a blog posting up directly to the USL Pro, so I get this directly to you and Chris Economides, that if the NASL does go under, that the USL should immediately take back Tampa Bay and Puerto Rico, and I would throw in Montreal there too. But what would have to happen for if the NASL does go away for 2011, what would be the situation about adding teams into the USL Pro at this stage?
Well, look, Andrew, we've seen the news reports over the last couple of days, but we're just very focused on, we got enough on our plate in terms of worrying about USL Pro. We've done a schedule. We've announced that schedule. We got a playoff format. Our teams are preparing. They're promoting dates. I don't know what series of things would have to occur. I don't anticipate that's something we're going to be dealing with on this cycle. And frankly, we've had our head down making sure that when we launch this new property for us, revamped USL Professional Division, that we're doing it in the best possible way in the 15 markets that we're in. That's what our focus is at this point. If other dynamics happen and situations change, I'm sure our Board of Governors will take a look at those at the appropriate time. But, you know, really, you know, 99.9% of our energy and focus is on making sure that, you know, in the 15 markets we're in, that USL Pro is a is an outstanding product, especially on the field for the fans, and that they, you know, especially in a market like Rochester, that the product's going to be just as good as the product they've been used to seeing for, you know, for the past 15 years.
You're a diplomat, as always, Tim. And I appreciate all of your information that you're giving us. Obviously, there's going to be more things coming out as we get closer to the season, and we'll look forward to having you back on again in the near future to talk more about the league, and as we get closer to the startup of the league, what's going to happen with the different teams and how the league is going to go in 2011. But thanks again for being on the show. Really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Andrew. I always enjoy being on the show, and you guys do a great job.
Thanks a lot, Tim. Tim Holt, the president of the United Soccer Leagues here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. When we come back, we'll be joined by the host of Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, Joe Sirianni, from a super secret location. And we will discuss the North American Soccer League and what's going to happen, what our thoughts are, our opinions, where this league is going to happen, if it's going to happen in 2011, if they're going to fold up shop, what's going to be the next step. We'll talk about that next on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass here on your Sports Leader FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WYSL and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com.
Hi, this is Doug Miller, and you're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL 1040.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notch monogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
The one place in town to get all your gear is the Soccer Shack. The Soccer Shack on Monroe Avenue. Shoes, balls, goalkeeper equipment, referee supplies, the best selection in town. All of the name brands. Fans, the widest and the best selection of jerseys in Western New York is at the Soccer Shack. National team, EPL, MLS, and more. The Soccer Shack, 2298 Monroe Avenue, 244-1460.
An experienced professional with more than 15 years in dentistry, Dr. David Olivo welcomes new patients to his family practice at 2005 Lyle Avenue. At the office of Dr. Olivo, you'll discover a warm and comforting environment staffed by professionals who are committed to providing the best available dental care while assuring your complete comfort. Call 328-3382 for an appointment. Dr. David Olivo, offering quality dentistry with a gentle touch.
Kusha Kush, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
Hey, some good Italian music here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. This is Andrew Battisti, and now we're joined by the host of Soccer is a Kick in the Grass tonight, broadcasting from a super secret location, Joe Sirianni. How you doing, Joe?
Good evening, Andrew, and the music is very appropriate because I am in an Italian environment at the moment. But actually, even though I'm here physically, I'm there with you mentally and with my heart.
Oh, thanks, Joe. We had a good conversation with Tim Holt, and he was very diplomatic when talking about the situation with the North American Soccer League. But we don't have to be so diplomatic. We can talk about it because we tell it like it is on this show. But for people who have not known what has happened over the past few days, the United States Soccer Federation has revoked the provisional sanctioning of the North American Soccer League as a Division II league for 2011. As of this moment in 2011, I should restate that. So right at this point, the NASL has not met the standards that the U.S. Soccer Federation has put out when they, as opposed to back when they were sanctioned on November 21st provisionally. It has something to do, there aren't any, a lot of details, but it's financially motivated, this decision. But Joe, I've been thinking about this, but I want you to give us your thoughts. What do you think is going to happen here?
I certainly think that I have two thoughts in my mind. That first of all, we have spoken to Mr. Davidson before pertaining to the league, the North American Soccer League, and they were very determined to the fact that they were going to meet the requirement that was imposed upon them. Unfortunately, you know, when North Carolina became, you know, was taken over by traffic, I think they made the league not valid anymore because there was too many teams owned by traffic. But at the same token, if we look back at the MLS in the beginning, they, you know, they were owners that owned multiple teams. So therefore, this argument is not really valid because,
well,
you know,
I don't know about that. Well, let you continue. I'll rebut
well,
after.
Let me continue because, secondly, I think that you know the North American Soccer League is not really done yet because we have to wait until February when everything is completely nullified. That's a right word for it, or the North American Soccer League will not be granted any recognition by the American Soccer Association. In the meantime, I think that, you know, one of the things that we got from the Rhinos today, it was an email saying that by virtue of the North American Soccer League being not granted recognition, you know, the Pro League, the USL Pro League will become the second division, so to speak.
Well, it's not. Well, let's be correct. It's the highest sanctioned level of soccer under Major League Soccer. So it's not the second division, but since there is no second division at the moment, it falls to the third division as the next level. So
well,
it's not that they're...
No, rightfully so. But the whole thing is this: that it isn't really what division we're in, or what division. It's the caliber of play that's going to be put on the field. So if the caliber of play, you know, that the North American Soccer League would have offered with the better player and the better payments and the better revenue for the players, you know, is no longer there. Certainly, those players now they're going to be available for the, you know, the Pro League, and I don't know whether the Pro League is going to be able to pay those wages or stipends that those players were willing to be in the North American Soccer League. But also, I think it'll make for a better league in the overall once everything gets sorted out, because those players have no place to go other than going back and renegotiate their contract with the USL Pro League. So it's a plus for the USL Pro League that this happened, and you know, I'm sure that you know, the team members of this organization are very happy with the result, including Rochester, which it makes me happy because we're going to be able to see better players.
Well, we'll definitely ask that of Bob Lilly when we have him on the show in a few minutes about what would happen regarding the players on the teams in the North American Soccer League. But the one thing that people have mentioned, and you as yourself just did, Joe, that that MLS had the same situation in 1996, but it's not the same situation, in my opinion. And there's other people that agree with me on that, too, that if the MLS was turned down by U.S. Soccer because the majority of the teams were owned by Lamar Hunt and Phil Anschutz, there wouldn't have been any Division I soccer in the United States at all, and that would have been a disaster because we were given the World Cup on the condition that there would have been a United States first division of soccer by 1996, which there was. So it's not the same because now MLS is so ingrained and they are stable and they're doing very well. U.S. soccer can afford to wait for a second division.
But
I'm going to give you my opinion. I'm going to give you my opinion now, Joe. I think is going to happen here?
Yeah, but don't forget, Andrew, about the conditions that in the beginning of MLS, you know, there was the, you know, there was an antitrust lawsuit because just what we said, that the league was controlled by two people or three people, three major owners. But the reality of the thing that, you know, in the case of the North American Soccer League, the big players in this were the Saputo and people from Traffic. So much like just what happened with the MLS. So it depends to be seen, you know, what legal action will the North American Soccer League take against people or against teams that has signed contracts with them to be part of the North American Soccer League. So, you know, the league is not done yet. The fight is not done. So we're just going to have to wait and see what happens in February.
Well, the only thing with the MLS is that MLS is a single entity, and they still are a single entity. North American Soccer League is not, so that's a big difference between the two leagues. But let me tell you what I think is going to happen here, and I may upset some people, but you know what? I don't care, because this is on this show we tell it like it is. I think the NASL will get sanctioned within the next 3 weeks, and I think the change is going to be that MLS is going to put money into the North American Soccer League, and they're going to stabilize the league. I think that's what's going to happen. I think this is going to be resolved before the deadline of February 11th and 12th, and it's going to be MLS is going to step in and prop up the NASL's financial situation. That's what I think is going to happen. What do you think, Joe?
I am of the same opinion, because I think that the connection that exists between the MLS and the North American Soccer League, the Joe Saputo and the Traffic organization, it will lend to such people organizing and helping the North American Soccer League, because on the ultimate, I think that the future of soccer in the United States is going to end up with relegation and promotion, or promotion and relegation, however we want to look at it. And, you know, the MLS has an interest in promoting a league that is going to offer them that opportunity. If you look at the difference between the two, okay, if the North American Soccer League gets recognized and gets a nod to go, MLS and the North American Soccer League is going to be first and second division, and the USL Pro is going to be a third division kind of league. Or, you know, so the better players and they're going to go to their league. If that's what happened, I mean, that's just my opinion. And you know, maybe both you and I are wrong, but at least that's the possibility that it may happen.
Well, one thing we do know for sure, and this is from a statement that Aaron Davidson made, is that the North American Soccer League is not going to play at a third division level. It is either second division or nothing. People have said that they may drive for third division, that is not going to happen. So again, I think MLS is really going to step in, because they have money to burn in the MLS, and they want a second division. And I've said from the very beginning that the best way to have a second division in this country is for MLS to run it.
Because
if we, just like in Japan, just like in Germany, where the top two leagues are controlled by one entity, and then the lower leagues are controlled more regionally. So.
Yeah, see, what I really think, I'm in total agreement with you. I think that if you look at MLS today, the structure, just the way you outline it, they need to have, you know, especially if United States Soccer is willing to bid again for the World Cup and do the things that they need to do, they need to have a stable organization, and they need to end all this intriguing and deterrent things that have happened, and, you know, that have happened last year and this year with the league. So I think it's going to be solved sooner than we think.
I think so, but I would say one thing in caution. Again, these are only my opinions. I don't have anything to back them up. I'm just saying this is what I think will happen. U.S. soccer is not going to budge. I think they are going to stick to their guns on the criteria they've set for Division II league in the United States. So I think it's incumbent on the NASL to meet the requirements of U.S. soccer, and I guess they know what they are. They've been told where they're deficient right now, and that's why I think honestly MLS is going to step in here and do whatever they have to do to make the NASL happen. But if I may be wrong, you know, it's very possible that the NASL may not play in 2011. But we're going to have to wait and see, and we'll know in just about 3 weeks' time or before that, because that's when the general meeting of the U.S. Soccer has held in the 11th and 12th of February, and we'll know for sure at that point if there's going to be an NASL season or if there is not going to be an NASL season. But, Joe, I know you're busy tonight, and I appreciate you coming on for a little bit to give your opinions.
It's my pleasure, and those are my thoughts, and I agree with some of the things that you have mentioned. I think that for the good of soccer, I hope that those people who are making the decision and who are calling the shots are going to be able to look at things in a prospective way to have soccer be the number one priority and not individual gains or whatever. Okay, so that's the other way I feel. I think the soccer needs to survive, and I think those people that are worried and you know need to have faith, and just like you and I, going to have faith, and we're going to wait for the February to see what happens.
All right, Joe. Well, you'll be back on again next week for the whole show, so we'll look forward to having you back on, and say hello to all of your Italian buddies for me.
Thank you very much, and thanks for carrying on the show by yourself.
No problem. I appreciate it, Joe. Thank you. Joe Sirianni, the host of Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. Of course, I don't carry on by myself. We have wonderful guests on the show, and our next guest coming up right after the break is the head coach of the Rochester Rhinos, Bob Lilly. That'll be next on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass and your sports leader, FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WYSL, and live on the web at socceristhekickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com.
Hello, I'm Tony DiCicco. Soccer is a kick in the grass, and I'm listening here to WYSL.
And the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine. That's amore.
More than 20,000 watts of news power every day.
You're listening to WYSL, 1040.com, FM Talk 92.1, and News Power 1040 WYSL, Avon, Rochester.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. national team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Doug Miller Family Sports Park, presented by Kodak, is proud to be a sponsor of Soccer's The Kick in the Grass. Doug Miller Family Sports Park is home to Doug Miller Soccer, Rochester Ravens, Rochester Golf Academy, Glacier Ridge Snow Tubing, and Salvatore's. Check us out at DougMillerFamilySportsPark.com.
New Way Auto Parts, with 6 locations in the Rochester area, is your full-service auto parts store servicing both wholesale and retail customers. New Way Auto Parts is the first choice for local repair shops and dealers for over 50 years. Shop where the pros do at New Way Auto Parts. Go to hanauto.com or the Frontier pages for more information, addresses, and phone numbers. That's hahnauto.com for New Way Auto Parts.
The one place in town to get all your gear is the Soccer Shack. The Soccer Shack on Monroe Avenue. Shoes, balls, goalkeeper equipment, referee supplies, the best selection in town. All of the name brands. Fans, the widest and the best selection of jerseys in Western New York is at the Soccer Shack. National team, EPL, MLS, and more. The Soccer Shack, 2298 Monroe Avenue, 244-1460.
Soccer is a kick in the grass.
Welcome back to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. Andrew Battisti here. Don't forget, coming up with our next segment, we'll have Dick Howard live from Toronto with all the latest news from Canada and from around the world of soccer. Right now, we're very happy to be joined once again by our coach. I say our coach because I of course am a Rochester Rhinos fan and a supporter as well as being a news person. The coach of the Rochester Rhinos, Bob Lillian. Bob's appearance is brought to you by Allstate Insurance agent Enzo Scolo. Go to ScoloInsuranceAgencies.com to check out his all the information about Enzo Scolo, and Scolo is spelled S-C-O-L-L-O. Bob, thanks for being with us tonight.
Hi, Andrew. How are you this evening?
Doing very well, thank you. I guess thanks for being with me, I guess, because Joe is at a super secret location tonight again. But it's been a very interesting few days in soccer. I know, but you've been a very few interesting few days because you've been down looking at players down in Charleston. Tell us about what you've been seeing down there in regards to talent for the upcoming 2011 season.
Well, Billy Sedgwick and I went down, and it was... you know, it was a pretty good group of players, and, you know, we've ID'd some there and, you know, kind of reviewed all our notes and compiled lists, and there may be a few we look to move on, you know, try to work out contracts with. But, you know, there's a number that we feel like we like them, and, you know, we're going to try and get some of them into our invitational combine, which is coming up February 7th and 8th, to see more of them. Because sometimes what you get, Andrew, is you get a player that you like, but you only see him for a couple of days. And, you know, you're not really working with them at a combine. They're out there and you're watching them play. They could be having a good day. They could be having a bad day. But, you know, if they're doing pretty well, and now you're able to look at them again, and you're actually working with them. And when we do our combine, you know, we're making some coaching points. We're pulling the players together, giving them some information to see how they process it, you know, and how they translate it into the game. A lot of times you get a better idea for their personality and how they carry themselves. You know, because when we make decisions and we sign players, we want to make sure they're going to help us become a better team. So, I mean, we're pretty excited. I mean, we feel like there's some players there. Obviously, we went to the MLS Combine and InfoSport Combine. We were out at a combine in California. And we, similar to last year, we've seen a whole range of players. And now, because we have that information, we can circle back and take the players we really like and invite some good players even into our training camp. And last year, you know, we made a bunch of significant signings late in the later stages that really helped us. You know, Troy Roberts, Aaron Pitch-Colwin, Jamie Franks, Alfonso Motegovan, Tyler Roseland, all these players were signed later on, you know, and we know there's going to be some good players that are let go from MLS teams as we go forward. So I know that was a long-winded answer, but hopefully it gave you a little bit of insight to our strategy.
Well, you give us a lot of information there, Bob, and it's fascinating. It's fascinating how you guys work with these initial combines, and then it's like you have a little funnel, and you've got all the players up here at the top of the funnel, and then you're working your way down, and the next step will be the player combine locally, and then of course the camp itself when that starts up in March.
Right.
So
right.
It's going to be a lot of work for you guys, I know, to try and find those diamonds in the rough that are they're always out there. It's just a matter of finding them and getting them into Rochester. Like we mentioned, the players you mentioned last year, there were some great young talent out there, and I know those guys are looking to impress the coaches and start their professional careers.
Yeah, and we're excited about that. I mean, it's, you know, I thought the one thing last year is we also, you know, and that goes back to why we want to work with these guys sometimes rather than just, you know, see them for a day or two, oh, let's sign this guy. You know, I think a lot of times you can jump so quickly and you don't have a lot of background on the player. Now, some of these players we like and we've ID'd, we can do some background checks and you know, get a feel for those players, talking more with their coaches, their college coaches or their PDL coaches, so that when we make the decision to sign them, you know, we're getting a player that we feel comfortable is going to do it for us, not only on the field, but off the field as well.
Bob, obviously the elephant in the room right now is this whole situation with the North American Soccer League, whether or not they're going to have a 2011 season or not. And we'll know that in about 3 weeks' time, if not sooner.
Right.
From your standpoint, if the NASL does not play in 2011, will that be an opportunity for you to look at some of the players that are on those teams that may go belly up, or maybe they'll release their players and maybe start over in 2012? What are your plans there?
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's one of the advantages of not boxing yourself in and making all your decisions too soon. You know, there may be better players on the board that fit what we're trying to do better. You know, now I have no idea. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, and, you know, I don't know if some of this stuff's going to get tied up in the courts. We don't know whether they, you know, at this point they haven't been sanctioned. There's a lot of issues there right now with that league, and they were there, frankly, you know, at the end, you know, in October, November, when the league split, a lot of these issues were there. And I feel good about the decision we made as a club, because, you know, we're moving forward and we're doing the right things to build this club stronger. And I shudder to think had we been tied into the NASL situation right now, I don't think it would have been positive. I'm very comfortable with where we are right now and the direction we're going.
Well, we had Tim Hold on from the USL earlier in the show, Bob, and we talked a bit about the schedule. And personally, my biggest bugaboo, and it's been that way for years and years, is from my standpoint, it is totally ridiculous that from a soccer standpoint, that teams have to play back-to-back matches, 2 games in 2 days. We're the only country in the world that does this. I mean, every other country, it has some kind of break. Normally, it's a week. But, I mean, if with cup matches, it may be less than that. But
right,
a coaching standpoint, the Rhinos have to start the season with back-to-back matches against Richmond and Wilmington in Virginia. So what's your strategy there?
It's a challenge. It's a challenge, no doubt. But you may be surprised to hear from my answer. I don't know if all coaches would feel this way, but for me, sometimes I like the team to be tested mentally, and sometimes I like the team to, you know, we're trying to make players better. I mean, there's no doubt we take pride in that as a staff, and you know, when we had the tough road trip last year where we went to Tampa Bay and then we had to go to Puerto Rico and then we went to Carolina, and, you know, we won two or three of those three games, and the other game we really had a chance and played well. We just didn't get a result. I felt like I played everyone on that trip. And, you know, even early in the season, that back-to-back, I'm going to try and get 24 players ready, 22 players ready through training camp, and I'm gonna try and get a lot of guys minutes those first two games, because that's going to give us confidence. And there's no doubt that we finished the top of the table last year because we had depth, and when Frankie was having a kid, you know, or other situations happened within the team, we had other players able to step in. So, you know, as a player, I was used to playing back-to-backs, and you know, I know it's different and it's a challenge. You know, with how it's done in this particular league, but you see it in some other leagues. You know, in the States, I know around the world, that's a valid point. But you know, I look at it as an opportunity to test the depth of your team, and I feel like it's nothing unusual. It's something that, you know, we've kind of had these types of situations since I came in the league in 1997. And, you know, although I agree that it is a challenge, I look at it as an opportunity from our standpoint to build depth into our team.
And it certainly will be the case. And I know that the next big date for you guys, you've got the open tryouts coming up next Monday. So who knows, we may be seeing some surprising talent coming out of that next Monday at Salem Sports Park out in Elma.
I think we're gonna have a few players do well there. I mean, there's some guys that I have some information on, even from that, you know, we're bringing them in, but if anyone does well there, we're going to bring them into the invite team. And as you say, the funnel system, you know, if they do well, you bring them in and put them in a better environment and see how they do there. But it won't surprise me if we have some guys that are good enough to kind of progress through it. Now, ultimately, will we sign a player? Well, we'll see. I hope we get someone out of the open that eventually is able to make the team, but it's reaching out, it's giving people opportunities that otherwise probably wouldn't get them, you know. And then the invite, we really try to hone in on players that, you know, we've got good information on that we think, you know, it's worth our time to look at them. And, you know, certainly if you look at our invite last year, we had T.J. Gore, Neil Kitson, Tyler Bellamy. Neil and Tyler were significant pieces for us last year. And then Rich Costanzo. I think those four are the ones that came out of our invitationals last year.
That's great. So, Bob, we're running out of time here, but we'll definitely have you on again soon. And after the tryouts, the invitational, we'll get some more news from you about the player situation. And then hopefully by then we'll know what's going to happen with the NASL. And I know you're going to be really busy next few weeks, but we really appreciate you taking time to come on the show.
Well, thanks for having us. And like I said, I mean, I know you're well informed. Hopefully we've answered some of the questions for the people out there. You know, I'm just excited that, you know, we got our house in order and we're moving forward. And, you know, I'm excited about the upcoming season. We'll talk to you soon, Andrew. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bob. Bob Lilly, the coach of the Rochester Rhinos, here on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass. When we come back, we'll have Mr. Zero Dick Howard with the International Report here on FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WYSL, and live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com.
Hi, this is Marcus Hahnemann from the U.S. Men's National Team. You're listening to Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on WYSL.
Top-notch monogramming is
soccer, Lancers, U.S. National Team, Pelé, Pittsburgh United.
Top-notch monogramming is
reggae, Bob Marley, Grateful Dead, Giant Panda, Clash.
Top-notch monogramming is
embroidery, screen printing, heat transfers.
Top-notch monogramming is
Rochester, Pittsburgh, USA wear.
Top-notchmonogramming.com, 248-2650. Top-notch monogramming, peace and love since 1992.
Cooja Cooja, it's me, Soccer Sam, for Salvatore's Pizza. Why Salvatore's? We use the highest quality ingredients in all our menu items. Spotless clean locations. A local family supporting our local community. Full menu delivery. And yeah, we deliver everything but babies. We purchase all our supplies locally from Palmer's. Online ordering at salvatores.com and our hotline, 234-5555. And we have an amazing staff. Do it with me. Salvatore's.com.
And now, the truth about insurance.
People assume quality car insurance has to cost more. People assume too much. The truth is, drivers who switch to Allstate save money, and they got more protection. So get the facts. Dollar for dollar, nobody protects you like Allstate.
Call Fairport Allstate agent Vincenzo Scolo today at 244-2130. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Northbrook, Illinois.
New Way Auto Parts, your locally owned and operated full-service auto parts store, has serviced Rochester area consumers for over 50 years. New Way stocks a full line of AC Delco and Motorcraft parts, along with Wix filters and Rochox and struts,
Walker Exhausts, and Timken Bearings. Six locations in the Rochester area, including the city, Irondequoit, Reese, Gates, Henrietta, and Farmington. Go to HahnAuto.com or the Frontier pages for more information, addresses, and phone numbers. That's HahnAuto.com for New Way Auto Parts.
Soccer is a kick in the grass. Stand by
zero. Now, on Soccer is a Kick in the Grass, it's time for our international report with one of North America's top soccer journalists, a member of both the Canadian Soccer Hall of Fame and the 1970 Rochester Lancers NASL Championship team, Mr. Zero, Dick Howard.
An international report with Dick Howard is brought to you this and every week by our title sponsor, Top Notch Monogramming in Pittsburgh. Dick, thanks for being with us tonight. I know you had a real busy schedule, but thanks for carving out a few minutes.
It's always a pleasure, Andrew.
Well, I'll tell you, let's start with what's going on up in Canada. And as the saying is, ladies first, the Canadian women's national team played the United States in the Four Nations tournament on Sunday. And the U.S. won 2-1. It was an excellent match. And I guess for all our local fans, Christine Sinclair had her 150th cap for Canada, and she was a dominant player on the field. She's had a great tournament, and I'm looking forward to seeing her play up here at Rochester this summer.
Tremendous player. I have the greatest of admiration for Christine Sinclair, and it's remarkable when you think that her 150th cap. You know, I think it's testimony to her longevity that she's been right at the top of her game, and she's done so well in women's professional soccer, and it's going to be a delight to see her. I'd love to come down to watch her play in Rochester, because she's certainly going to be an asset for any team. But Andrew, a great role model for young women playing the game, not just in Canada but everywhere. You know, she just conducts herself so well, very humble, and no ego at all, but what a talent, and she's been outstanding for our national team.
She certainly has, and again, I'm really looking forward to seeing her play alongside all the other players for the Western New York Flash. But the Four Nations tournament ends actually overnight tonight. Canada will face Sweden, and the United States will face China. All four teams are tied with 3 points, so anybody can still win this tournament. It should be very exciting. Unfortunately, we're all going to be asleep probably while it's going on, but it's going to be interesting to see who comes out on top.
It will be, and the thing is, of course, leading into Germany, the Women's World Cup this summer, teams are looking to get in as much competition as they can, and when you look at the caliber of those four teams, they're all going to be contenders with regards to any world championship.
They certainly are. In Canada, of course, they're going to be having to face Germany in their group, but I think the Maple Leafs have a really good chance to go far in the tournament. I think any of these four teams can make some noise, and we'll see what happens with that. But let's switch over to the men's side, and we talked about this earlier today. We've been talking a lot about the North American Soccer League situation, but really it's an acute situation in Canada, because you've got the Montreal Impact and FC Edmonton are both hanging based on what the U.S. Soccer Federation is going to decide regarding the NASL. Dick, from the Canadian standpoint, what are you hearing up in your neck of the woods about this situation?
Well, I'll hear a lot more tonight, because there's going to be a major announcement about our new equipment supplier for the Canadian national teams, and I'll be attending that press conference in the next hour. So that, I'm sure, will answer a lot of the questions that we have about the North American Soccer League and the plight of FC Edmonton and Montreal Impact. Disappointing for FC Edmonton, because they, as we know, had a history of playing in the old North American Soccer League. They unfortunately just left. Their coach is gone. He has left, and they've brought in a new coaching staff with regards to the team, getting prepared for the season, and now this happens. And again, Montreal Impact always prepare well for the season, and that's going to put a crimp on their plans if there's no NASL for them to play in. Montreal could probably get by with playing exhibition games, but it would be a little bit more devastating, obviously, for an FC Edmonton.
Now, would the Impact and FC Edmonton be eligible for the Neutralite Canadian Championships if they're not playing in a league? Do you have any idea about that?
That's a good point. in my opinion, they have to be playing in a recognized league for them to, you know, compete in the Nutrilite Championship. So that is something that the Canadian Soccer Association will have to judge, and it does not look good, though, for the situation with regards to FC Edmonton and Montreal Impact if there's no NASL. The other thing that has been mentioned in recent years up here in Canada has been why no place in the playoffs for the champion team in the Canadian Soccer League, which is the semi-pro league that operates basically in eastern Canada and has produced some very good teams over the years. So there's a lot of unanswered questions that will come about if these two teams have no league to play in.
Now, one of the things I actually put out, Dick, in one of my postings, would there be any possibility that if U.S. Soccer turns down the NASL, could they try to get sanctioned through the Canadian Soccer Association because they have the two franchises in Montreal and Edmonton?
Good question. I think, you know, for a league to start play this season, it's going to be very, very difficult. So I know that it's tied in with problems with several teams in the NASL, but you look at the impact, yes, they're going to be impacted, forgive the pun, FC Edmonton, and then a team like Puerto Rico Islanders. You know, what will happen to them with regards to this? Because, again, they will be left without a league to play in.
Well, at least there is a Puerto Rican National League that they could conceivably play in. But again, like I said, I don't see Montreal playing in the NPSL. I don't think that's going to happen. But I mean, more likely, you know, that if they wanted to join the USL, they probably would be allowed back in.
Yeah.
But I mean, who knows? That's up to the Board of Governors. But this is going to shake out in the next few weeks. Maybe, Dick, if you get any information, Dick, at this meeting tonight, please let me know, because I would certainly love to find out.
It's certainly very thin ice at the moment. You obviously hope for the best with this scenario, but the way it's looking and the press releases that we've all been looking at don't paint a very rosy picture for the NASL. And we know that under Major League Soccer, you need to have, you know, a Division II and a Division III, just like Single A, Double A, and Triple A baseball. You need to have a progression, and if that's going to be affected by the fact that there'd be no Division II, then it really does hold back the development. And development of a lot of young players and coaches. You know, I always feel badly for the young players who've been training hard and hoping to make the team, and then suddenly there's no league for the team to play in.
It's going to be an interesting next few weeks. But, Dick, I know you have to go, sorry, but I guess I can't let the show go without saying Bolton 0, Chelsea 4 today. And I am
great
very
result.
Happy.
Congratulations.
Happy to see it.
Congratulations, Andrew.
Thank you, Dick. I appreciate
and
that.
And it's a joy. Obviously, there's another function tonight, and we can't talk about Juventus, obviously, with him not being there to defend them. But
you can
enjoy the rest of the evening, because that is a tremendous result. Not too many teams go in and win 4-0 at the Reebok.
That's certainly the case. And I know, Dick, you're going to be on the road the next few weeks, so we get to hear all the international news from the international location, I guess. Not that Canada's not international, but it should be. I know,
yeah, you'll be getting them from different parts of Europe and the Caribbean over the next few weeks.
Well, Dick, we look forward to having you on from wherever you are in the world, and we really appreciate your time. Again, if something breaks tonight, please call me and let me know. I'll definitely get the word out to the masses.
I'll keep you posted. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Dick. Dick Howard, live from Toronto here on Soccer is the Kick in the Grass. And that's going to do it for tonight's show. I want to thank Bob Lilly, the coach of the Rochester Rhinos, and Tim Holt, the president of the USL, for being on the show tonight. And for our producer, Joe Sirianni, who is in a super secret location. Joe will be back with us for the full show next Monday. And thanks, of course, to Bob D'Angelo at the WYSL Controls. This is Andrew Battisti. Meet with us again next Monday at 6:30 for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass on your sports leader, FM Talk 92.1 and News Power 1040 WYSL. And live on the web at soccerisakickinthegrass.com, radio-soccer.com, and WYSL1040.com. Good night, everyone.
Soccer is a Kick in the Grass is presented by Top Notch Monogramming Northfield Commons Pittsburgh and brought to you by the following sponsors: the Rochester Rhinos, Salvatore's Pizza and Donuts Delight, the Soccer Shack, Faber Homes, Allstate Insurance Agent Enzo Scolo, New Way Auto Parts, Dr. David Olivo Family Dentistry, and the Doug Miller Family Sports Park, presented by Kodak. Tune in again next week for Soccer is a Kick in the Grass.